الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وبعد، my dear brothers and sisters, we continue with the series of reminders on the ayat of Surah An-Nur, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَخْشَى اللَّهَ وَيَتَّقْهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the one who obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and who has khashyat of Allah, wa yattaqi, and who has taqwa, ulaika humul faizun, these are the people who are successful. We spoke about the meaning of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today I want to remind myself and you about the third part, which is khashyatullah. Khashyatullah is fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this fear is different from the fear as in khawf, because khashya is a kind of fear which is not which does not produce hatred, which does not drive away, which does not produce distance. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the word khawf with relation to shaitan, where shaitan said, Inni akhafullah, I am afraid of Allah. But shaitan is not close to Allah. Shaitan itself means, the word itself means far away, distant. So khawf as in fear that drives away is obviously no use. So we are talking about the khashyat of Allah, which is a fear that comes out of admiration, that comes out of realizing the greatness and glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is fear as in the fear that comes from feeling very small and insignificant in comparison to the one that you are fearing. So I'm afraid because I'm nothing. I mean, I'm nothing compared to many things, but compared to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not even a comparison. So that fear which comes from realizing how great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. So therefore, khashyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something which is a sign that we recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatness. And that's the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this khashyat, where he said, لَوَنْزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَىٰ جَبَلٍ لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِئًا مُتَصَدِّيًا مِّنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if this Qur'an, if this kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to be sent down onto a mountain, the mountain would humble itself. مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. It would crumble, it would become dust, it would humble itself because of the khashyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as I say many times, the kitab is sent onto a mountain does not mean the book is put on a rock. It means that if the nuzul of this Quran happened on the mountain as the subject of that nuzul, then this would produce, because the mountain would then understand the magnificence and the majesty and the glory of the kitab of Allah. The kitab of Allah is not Allah. The zat of Allah is different from the kitab of Allah. But even the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is enough to crumble the mountain. Imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, which is why the ayat of Ayatul Kursi is considered to be the most magnificent and greatest ayat of the Quran, because it describes, it has many of the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which are mentioned in this ayat. So therefore, it is to have khashyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a sign of recognizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Bishr al-Hafi rahmatullah alayhi was a great zahid in the time of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi, and Imam Ahmad used to call him his ustad. He used to say, he's my sheikh. And people sometimes, some people, they objected and they said, how do you call Bishr al-Hafi your sheikh? Because Bishr al-Hafi is not a muhaddith, he is not learned in hadith like you are learning. Because Imam Ahmad was the greatest muhaddith of his time and one of the greatest muhaddithun of this ummah and of all time. So the people asked him, you call him your ustad, but he does not even know as many hadith as you know. Imam Ahmad said, Bishr has the husul of ilm. He has the essence of knowledge. And what is the essence of knowledge? They asked him, what is the essence of knowledge? He said, essence of knowledge is khashyatullah. Essence of knowledge is khashyatullah. So if somebody has khashyatullah, then this person has the essence of knowledge. Now, this does not mean no more knowledge is required. It means that this is the sum total. This is the reason why we acquire knowledge. Why do we acquire knowledge? We do not acquire knowledge for the purpose of collecting information. We acquire knowledge for some effect to happen because of this knowledge. The knowledge of Islam, that's why I always say Islam is not a theory. Islam is not theology. Islam is a practice. Islam is the name of a practice. By learning Islam, something should happen. For example, if I learn Aikido, then I am safe from attackers because I have a martial art that I can practice. If I say I know all about Aikido but I can't defend myself, then this knowledge of Aikido is worthless, it is useless. And that's because Aikido is not a theory, Aikido is a practice. The only way you learn Aikido is by practicing Aikido, by actually learning how to practice it. So also Islam. Islam is the name of a practice. If Islam is, if you, and therefore the knowledge of Islam produces benefit. And what is the first benefit that it produces? It produces khashyatullah. Because the knowledge of Islam is what? It's the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is Allah? So when we study Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu's sifat and his word through the Quran, there is no one who describes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better than Allah himself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes himself in the Quran in many places. He described his sifat, his qualities. He described the things that he gave us. He described what will happen to us on the day of judgment and so on. So all of these are things that lead us to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what must happen as a result of that? Khashyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must come into our hearts. If that khashyat is not coming, then it means the purpose of this knowledge is not served. So if we are acquiring this knowledge, and this is very important, because many people today, they are interested in acquiring knowledge and they read books and they listen to lectures and so on and so forth. But if you see their behavior, if you see themselves, wallah alam, I can't go into their heart to say if they have khashyat or not. But the khashyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is visible in behavior. The khashyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is visible in behavior. If your behavior does not show the khashyat of Allah, then wallah alam whether you have khashyat or not. You might have a lot of knowledge, but it is not producing the khashyat. So the knowledge of the alim is visible in his behavior. That is the purpose of knowledge. So that doesn't seem to happen. People have they have studied this and that, but if you look at their behavior, you can't see the effect of this knowledge. So therefore, we have to ask ourselves, if we are among them, we must ask ourselves, do I really have knowledge? Because if I have knowledge, how is it that knowledge is not visible in my actions, in my speech, in my demeanor, in my manners, in my akhlaq, and so on and so forth? The first thing that khashyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala produces is a sense of one's own insignificance. And the sign of that is humility. A person who, the more a person understands Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more humble the person gets or should get. Because when he understands Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is understanding the greatness of Allah. And although even though we can claim to understand, but we can never truly understand the greatness of Allah, but to whatever extent we understand, to that extent we feel insignificant, because what am I compared to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? La hawla wa quwwata illa billah. That's not even a comparison. So I am nothing. So if you are nothing, then obviously that is a sign of humility, of humbleness. You can't claim to have knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also be arrogant at the same time. It is not possible. You can't have pride, you can't have kibr, you can't have arrogance while claiming that you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not possible. How can you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you have arrogance? The first thing that is destroyed when you really understand Allah is arrogance. And alhamdulillah, because arrogance is the surest way of going into Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to destroy somebody who has arrogance. The first sign of arrogance is to treat somebody else with disdain, to treat somebody else without respect. Just the other day somebody told me that in Juma, one of our musallis came and parked his car, and when Muzaffar, who's, you know, may Allah bless him, he organizes, and he and the other people, they organize all the parking voluntarily. They don't have to do it. Nobody pays them for it. But they voluntarily, they organize all the parking. So alhamdulillah, all the even though a lot of cars come here, everything moves smoothly. This person, when Muzaffar asked him to move the car, this person got angry and he cursed him. Now, Muzaffar is a poor man, so he kept quiet. This brother who cursed him is a rich man, so he thinks he can curse and get away with it. I heard about it later. I could have done whatever I wanted to do, but I kept quiet. I thought, well, you know, leave it, let it be between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One hopes that Allah will give him the tawfiq to apologize to Muzaffar, because if he dies with that, this is the issue of kibar. This is the issue of kibar. If you go and insult somebody, and if you don't apologize, and you die with that, you may think it's a small thing. It's not a small thing. Before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a very big thing. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the sign of iman, sign of a Muslim, sign of iman is that your neighbor, and he said neighbor, he didn't even say Muslim. So for the Muslim, the wa'id or the order becomes even more serious. He said, your neighbor must be safe from your hand and your tongue. So you must not do anything to harm the neighbor, and you must not say anything to harm the neighbor or to do something to the honor of the neighbor. So what about a Muslim brother? His right is even more than that. It is a sign of kibar. Although people come and pray regularly, they come to the masjid, they attend programs, they do this, they do that. But at the end of that, still the arrogance is there. Still you yell and scream and shout, and you do that to somebody who cannot shout back. Seriously, I mean, this is a sign of bravery. What is this? This is just ignorance and jahalat. And seriously, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from this. So very, very important for us to have khashyatullah. And the sign of khashyatullah is humbleness and humility. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to understand Him, to understand His greatness, to understand His glory and magnificence, and to inculcate humility and humbleness in ourselves, which must be visible in our actions, in our speech, in our demeanor, in our akhlaq. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us our sins, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to go and make tawbah. It's very, very important. A man was praying, and Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu was there. So this man said, Ya Allah, Ya Rabbal Alameen, Ya Kareem, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, Ya Zal Jalali Wal Ikram, please forgive me, Allahu Akbar. So Sayyidina Ali said, this is tawbah? He said, this tawbah is so easy? You simply say, Oh Allah, forgive me, and it's gone. He said, where are the stages of tawbah? He said, this is not tawbah. He said, one is to feel contrite and feel ashamed about what you did. He said, second one is to go and apologize and make up with whatever that you did wrong. So if you took away somebody's right, give it back to him. If you abuse somebody, go apologize to that person, and so on. And he said, third one is to give sadaqah to Allah subhanahu in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ask for forgiveness. He said, then only your forgiveness is accepted. So have you done all this? You simply say, Oh Allah, forgive me, Allahu Akbar. What is this? So seriously, we have to take these things seriously. One word out of our mouth can result in the anger of Allah, which can result in Jahannam. After all, how much effort does it take to become Muslim? One line, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. That one line is the difference between Jannah and Jahannam. A person can be a mushrik, he can be a kafir for 100 years. He simply comes and says, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, he is in Jannah. Hey? So it doesn't take long. To come into Islam doesn't take long. To leave also doesn't take long. Both are equally easy. And that's why we should be very careful with our tongues. The tongue is the biggest problem. The tongue is the biggest problem. It takes some more effort for someone to actually go and hit somebody and so on. People do, may Allah forgive us, but I'm saying that that is more. But the tongue moves very fast. The smallest irritation, the smallest something, you know, yelling and screaming and raving and ranting and cursing. La hawla wa quwwata illa billah. And all of that, believe me, will come back to haunt you on the day of judgment, and that will not be funny. So if we have done anything like this, the first thing to do is go and apologize to that person. Go and beg and grovel. Doesn't matter who that person is. If you feel that how can I apologize to somebody who is a servant, you should have thought about that before you abuse the person. If you did not want to apologize to him, you should not abuse him in the first place. If you abused him, you jolly well go and apologize. Whether he accepts or not is a different matter. But your job is to go and apologize. And if you abuse him in public, you go apologize in public. Not quietly somewhere. What you do in public, you do that. You go and make amends also in public. And that is why that is the whole issue of khashyatullah. If you have khashyatullah, you will do this. If you do not have khashyatullah, then shaitan has no khashyatullah. Please understand this very clearly. The khashyatullah is a very, very serious matter. And it is not simply enough to claim it. It is visible in our actions. And the first and foremost sign of khashyatullah is humbleness and humility. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to inculcate this and to make it easy for us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.